Welcome back, fools. Final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means it's time for the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, ask him if he is buying or selling the prospectus from said stories. I'm Alex. Oregon plays ASU this week in the up-and-coming Arizona State Sun Devils. Herm Edwards in town for the first time as a college coach. He has ASU right now 6-4, bowl eligible, in prime position to win the Pac-12 South. They need to beat Oregon, then Arizona next week, and they will play Washington State in the title game because they own a tiebreaker with Utah. CBS Sports wrote an article today saying Edwards has silenced his critics, which was literally everyone in the country, and has ASU a legit contender right away, but there's an argument to make that he's doing it with Todd Graham's players. Best wideout in the country, N'Keal Harry, senior leader at quarterback, Manny Wilkins, Pac-12's rushing leader in yards, attempts, and touchdowns, Eno Benjamin. So there's an argument that Todd Graham could have gone 6-4 with this insane amount of talent, maybe better. So the prospectus, Herm Edwards' early success is legit.
Yeah, you know, kind of forget that they did make a bowl last year. I mean, they beat USC. They won at Stanford. So, but there's a reason they canned them. They kind of had stagnated. And I think the thing I'm admiring about Edwards is that, unlike some of the Graham teams, having won three in a row, including at SC, Utah, and UCLA, they look better now than when conference play started. So I'm going to give Herm the benefit of the doubt as one of my favorite guys. They're legit. Buy that one.
By the way, if you have not seen N'Keal Harry this year, you're about to see him. He's really, really good. Manager of the Year Awards announced last night in Major League Baseball, Brian Snitker of Atlanta, Bob Melvin of my Oakland Athletics. Two teams that did absolutely nothing in the playoffs, the A's losing to the Yankees in the wild card, Atlanta losing 3-1 in the NLDS. Both teams certainly overcame a lot to make the postseason and have the success they did this year. Oakland overcoming never, ever spending any money on anything ever, and Atlanta, the youngest team in baseball, with no one on their roster outside of maybe Freddie Freeman, the casual baseball fan would recognize the name of. But again, neither actually won anything. Alex Cora won a World Series, 108 games in his first season managing. Craig Counsell, 96 games with the Brewers. They were the runners-up. And essentially the Brewers, you know, had good players because Derek Jeter hates winning. So the prospectus, MLB got the managers of the year right.
Would anybody recognize Nick Markakis of Atlanta?
Like Royals fans, maybe?
And you know where you don't want me to go with that one. You can't have your Nick Markakis and eat it too.
I'm depressed. I'm going to leave now.
I think
answer the question, Tannen.
You know what? I think there were more than one answer to get it right. So handing it to those two guys can't be wrong. So I'm going to buy that.
A lot of nonsense going on with the Warriors right now. Draymond Green got into it with Kevin Durant, got suspended for it. He apparently called Durant a bitch several times in referencing his upcoming free agency. Now there's a report today saying that several... By the way, I really felt uncomfortable saying that into a microphone. That was weird.
Good.
Now there's a report today saying that several Warriors aren't willing to recruit Durant to stay with them after this season. And a player even told The Athletic that there's no way they're keeping him because of what Draymond said to him. The damage is done. The only hope, according to that player, is if they go to him and use the fact that they suspended Green and had his back. Most reports say everyone in the locker room took Durant's side of things, but the prospectus, KD is actually done in Golden State after this year because
Whoa.
Of this.
If he is, he's kind of nuts. But you know what? It's early in the year, and I'm going to play the pending card because I got to see a few things play out.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond could just be the bigger man and come forward and say water's under the bridge. Yeah. New college football playoff rankings out. Top 10 didn't budge. Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, Notre Dame are in right now. A team very much undefeated, still very much on the outside looking in, is UCF. They're behind 6 1-loss teams and 1 2-loss team in LSU. They haven't lost since 2016, and average beating their opponents this year 44-21. Of course, they haven't played anyone at all. Their biggest wins over Memphis? They don't have a big win. But the entire reason for adding the playoff was to give these sort of teams a chance if they do go undefeated. This is clearly not going to do that with UCF, seeing as they're 9-0 and ranked outside the top 10. So the prospectus, if UCF finishes 12-0, they should be in the playoff.
Should they or will they?
They should be.
If there are even two unbeatens, and which means there are two teams that have a loss, I want them in. There's no doubt in my mind. Do I ever think they have a chance of getting in? No way. And I know they always say, well, we don't look at this, we don't look at that. It's like if they won 25 games in a row, how do you not have an interest in seeing them in? Because don't forget, even though they didn't qualify last year, they still got to play a major game, and they beat an Auburn team that is a better Auburn team than they are now. So I'm gonna buy that. I think they should be in.
Dennis Dodd with an interesting take this week with number one Alabama playing their annual tune-up game against the Citadel. He says that Tua Tagovailoa shouldn't play this Saturday. He's been dealing with an injury to his knee, and according to Dodd, he should just sit this one out. He's reportedly not going to because of pride and whatnot, but the kid basically already has the Heisman sewn up, and like Dodd said, Tommy Lee Jones could beat the Citadel. Also, Jalen Hurts out due to an ankle injury, so their actual starter could be Mac Jones. That's where he got the joke from. So how about it? The prospectus. Saban should sit Tua against the Citadel.
I was about to say, Tommy Lee Jones didn't go to the Citadel. I think he was actually a roommate with the guy who writes Doonesbury and Al Gore at Yale. I'm not kidding. I think they were all in that famous class of 1968. I don't know why I know that.
That's really random. That is really random.
And I actually,
those three, too, by the way.
Right. Yeah. Put those three together. No. So what was the prospectus again?
Saban should sit Tua against the Citadel.
I can't believe it's even a conversation if he's partially injured with the Iron Bowl, two playoff games, and a national championship trophy to make room for. I guess I'm going to buy that, too.
The exodus from Oregon softball continued this week. Shannon Rhodes and Alyssa Pinto announced that they will transfer. So now that makes Miranda Ellish, Shannon Rhodes, Lauren Burke, Alyssa Pinto, Mary Iacopo gone. That along with Gwen Savekas, Jenna Lilly, Lauren Lindvall, DJ Sanders, who graduated. What did you say? Woof? Yeah, that's a woof. Only 14 players returned from last year, but that includes Megan Kleist and Maggie Ballant. And they just added some studs in signing day today, including 2018 Gatorade Oregon Player of the Year Ariel Carson from right here in town, Marist. She plays infield and will have to soon. But the prospectus, they outscored their opponents 114-2 in fall ball, but Oregon is in danger of missing the postseason this year because of all the exodus.
That's some... three great players, one really good player, and one who redshirted.
Not to mention the players who graduated, too.
Right. I don't know if there's a way around that, because that's a lot of X factors to overcome.
Still have two really good pitchers.
I understand.
Not just good
that.
Pitchers, I understand. Really good pitchers.
This is also a really good conference that can make you pay, so I'm going to buy that as well. By the way, I mixed and matched there. Gore and Tommy Lee Jones were roommates at Harvard.
Okay.
And in 1968, they played Yale, who had Trudeau as one of the quarterbacks.
Whoa, the guy who did Doonesbury was a quarterback at Yale?
Yeah.
No
in 1968 was like the last big time Harvard-Yale game that had national implications. They were both unbeaten.
And it's Trudeau was the quarterback.
Yeah. It's amazing.
That is crazy.
I know. It's insanity.
Anyway, back to the Ducks and Devils real quick. Oregon back in Autzen, which should make them feel pretty good because they are god-awful on the road this year. 1-4, outscored 34-26, their only road win over Cal. So back home, where they're 5-1 this year, their only loss in a game they should have won against Stanford. A home game usually shifts the betting line 3 points for the home team. So as you'd imagine, the 6-4 Ducks and the 6-4 Devils, a 3.5-point line with Oregon the favorite. The Ducks need a get-right game before a short week and then facing the Beavs next Friday. The prospectus, Oregon covers the 3.5.
God, put me in this kind of position. This craziness of betting, like I have any idea what 3.5 even means.
Remember what we said last week about the line with Utah? Like, wow, man, Utah lost their starting quarterback, their starting running back. How are they still favored in this game?
And I told you, Vegas. These trick bag games are just enough to make you nuts.
Vegas is smarter than us.
So I'm gonna take the home team in a close game. So, yeah, sure, they'll cover the 3.5, he said with limited conviction.